This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a little cooler than I thought it was going to be this time of year.
Uh-huh.
But they tell me on Monday it'll be even cooler.
Yeah. Monday's not going to be cool. It's going to be just downright cold, because I think by the time we get up on Monday and Tuesday, it might be in the 30s. It may be a few degrees away from freezing.
Wow. If it's in the 30s. It's going to change our life this early in the year, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You see, it's way too early for this. We had like a couple of weeks of a fall, and it was nice. But boy, it just doesn't seem like it should be getting down into the 30s and the 40s until another couple of months.
I thought it would be in the 70s till November.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've seen November even, where it was nice and warm. You could play football outside.
Yeah.
You know, but this doesn't sound like this is going to be that kind of a deal, does it?
No, it seems like this should come back, you know, like at the last couple of weeks of the year, or even into like January, but it's come back in a hurry this year.
So we're going to have to gear up for winter and just go ahead and do winter, sounds like.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to go, dig out our hats and our scarves and our gloves and all that, because my goodness, you know, if it's going to do this early, then I'm sure there's possibility of it happening again before like the holidays.
It does sort of sound like it's going to be a serious affair.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping it's just a one-time thing, but maybe not.
Do you know how long it's going to last? Do you have any idea?
I don't. I think Monday and Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday I heard. I don't know about Wednesday yet, and even if they said at this point, that's still several days away, so it might be even too early, because it could still change a lot. But my goodness, I looked up and I saw, no, that must be like a typo or a misprint or something, but my goodness.
You were hoping and praying it was a misprint.
That was a brutal wake-up call.
Yes, it was for this early in the year.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, we better give out the phone number.
We need to. We need to heat things up here.
Okay. 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And they may have just had to go right past Thanksgiving and Halloween and just lay it out for Christmas, reckon?
Well, yeah, or put out some Valentine's stuff already.
Oh, my gosh, they're gonna get us.
I'm taking it all the way here.
You are. I mean, I know you like holidays, but this is getting ridiculous.
I do.
Oh, my gosh.
I like
the
holidays all at once.
That's right. I think you would have a 30-day of just celebrations.
Every
celebration you could do.
Oh, my gosh. That is the truth.
What does your wife think about this?
Well, she thinks it's a little bit too much.
I thought she might think you might have gone a little bonkers, a little over the edge.
Yeah, and a little is being generous.
Well, speaking of all this, what do you think about the market drop this week?
My goodness, what was it, 13 points in 2 days?
Yes,
or,
it was.
1,300? It was just, I thought, oh my goodness, when it happened initially on, I think it was Wednesday, was the first one.
It dropped 800 points.
800 points. I thought, uh-oh.
800 points.
I thought, well,
the next
we'll see.
Day it dropped 250.
I know it, and it just kept going. And then that's the kind of thing that makes us nervous. That's the kind of thing that makes me look up and say, huh, wonder what's next. Now, there's always, you know, a chance for recovery, and things could bounce back, and then things could go back down, and then they bounce back. But that's how the market works. And so I know a lot of people lost an awful lot of money in their 401ks last week.
I know they did. And they're still thinking about it. I mean, they're scratching their head.
Yeah.
But we've been telling them all year this could happen.
Yeah.
And I got a call from it. Now, you know, I talk about the procrastinators every once in a while. And I don't like to rub it in too bad. But a guy called me, and I swear he told me that he had talked to me 8 or 10 years ago.
Wow.
I knew people procrastinate. I didn't know they've ever went that far.
That's a little excessive.
That was a little excessive, and he told me his story and said he wanted to come see me, and it had been a long time, and I thought, what have you been doing for 8 or 10 years? But I didn't ask. I figured, you know, he will tell me at the right time. But that was pretty, that's pretty bizarre.
8 to 10 years is we talk about, you know, maybe a year, maybe 6 months, but never
that's
that long.
That's the longest I know.
So,
yeah, and he said he was tired of losing money.
Uh-huh.
It took him this long to get tired of it.
What?
8 or 10 years, now he's tired of losing money. Oh, my gosh,
well,
yes.
I guess whatever makes it happen. But usually there's some kind of event. Did he just look up and see the drop this week and go, oh, that's it? Or was there something
that
else?
That might have been it. Might have been that final drop this week on Wednesday, that 800 points in a short time.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm tired of losing money in the stock market. That's what the guy said.
Wow. And you said, it's about time.
I said, well, my gosh, yes, if you'd like to talk to us, come on. You know, I'm thinking, wow. I mean, I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and at that point, you know, I start to wonder, okay, now are people going to wait it out again to try and hopefully rebuild back what they've lost this week before they come back? Or is it time to just cut your losses and say, okay, I pushed my luck. I waited too long. I got greedy and the market went down. I lost a bunch. Let's just cut our losses and get out now.
That's what I would probably do, but I'm not the normal person.
Well, that's
I'm
true.
I'm the type of person that doesn't want one dime. I don't want to lose $1.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I got out of 08, I've stayed faithful to that. I've never went back. I have a friend that tried to tempt me into an investment he's doing in Australia. I have not put one dime in that Australian oil company.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he thinks it's going to make him a lot of money. But I don't think so. I think it's a great risk. I mean, oh, my gosh, I think it's a great risk. But,
yeah.
You know, different people, different strokes, you know, sure. they invest in different things for different times. He has a lot of money with us. I don't even know how he did this. I don't remember what happened. Anyway, he got involved in this deal in Australia. You know, there's a lot of stuff you could get involved in the U.S. if you just had to do a deal.
Wow.
You know? Yes.
He was just burning a hole in his pocket.
It was burning a hole in his pocket, and he took that money and put it in there.
Wow.
And so, the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to see if he gets it back.
Wow.
Not only is he going to make a profit, is he going to get it back? That's what I'm a little worried about.
I know. It's just like, you know, it's one thing to think, okay, how much am I going to make? And then you have to, you know, you have to address reality and say, well, gosh, I may not make anything. And then you take it one step further and go, my gosh, I could lose everything.
Yes, I looked at all of his options and his risk, and I thought, that's just too much. I can't imagine him doing it because he's a conservative guy.
Yeah.
But on this one thing, he's not being conservative. He's speculating, as we always say. This, he's doing a little speculating.
Is he looking for the high payoff, the get-rich-quick thing, or what's his drive?
High payout. He thinks it's going to be a high payout.
Okay. All right. I would guess probably high payout with mixed in with a little bit of impatience, perhaps?
Well, he's rode it out over a year so far.
Wow.
And this is not the end, I can tell you.
My goodness. And see, you look at that, and then you look at, you know, the stock market from this past week, and then you look at all these different scenarios, and we always talk about this, and here we are going in towards, we're into fourth quarter, and so this is when I think a lot of people, you know, they take time off for the holidays in the next couple of months. They really start to reevaluate, and I think this is the time of year, and you may be able to speak a little more schooled on this than I am, but I think that this is a time when people spend time with their families and they say, you know, maybe it's about time that we start thinking about retirement, because, you know, you take your time off and you relax a little bit, and people say, I'd like to be able to do this full time. But you have to be able to be in a position to do it. And so when we see things like this past week with the stock market, or like your friend who's looking at this Australian thing, we start to think, Mike, maybe we should find something a little bit more conservative, maybe something a little bit more, maybe predictable or more well-informed with less risk.
Well, now that would be my opinion. But, you know, everything has risk. We tell people that every day. When they sign a contract with us, I say, look, this is not without risk. It's not as risky as the stock market, but it has risk. And we know that the greatest risk is it could go over. I had a gentleman in this week. He had some policies that went over. And I said, okay, first of all, the insurance company is still going to pay you. They're not going to say, oh, just because it's ran over, we won't pay you. I said, you're still going to make the same amount of money, you know, that was promised you in your contract. You're still going to get your principal back. It's just going to be later on these few policies. And I said, you've got good profit in it, so you will still get a decent, good amount of profit. And he said, well, they've went over it. I said, well, let's look at what the premiums are. I swear to you, there's two premiums that are $7.49 a quarter.
$7?
Yeah, $7 and something a quarter.
Wow.
So I don't consider that very much. But now he is in that old Denton policy. So we can't discount it completely, because we all know the Denton policy has raged on, and this man is old, but we haven't found that he's sick. He was supposed to be really sick, and it's supposed to come in a long time ago. We've still got the light out for him. We know they're going to come, but we don't know when. But can you imagine if it was $7 and something a quarter?
I that's just laughable.
I know, but we still had to send out the notice.
Yeah.
You know? So, where the books will balance. So what I'm saying is the risk is not great, okay? You're still going to get paid. You're still going to get your principal. You're still going to get your interest if one goes over. So that's the first risk and the greatest one. The second risk is if you made some mistake and you don't have what you told us you did in that extra money. Everybody always has to have emergency money. You know, we won't do it if they don't. And so if they need cash, they have the emergency money to get it from rather than out of their policies. Because remember, you can't get money out of your policies while it's, before it matures. When it matures, you've got all kinds of money you can get out.
It's not liquid. No,
it is not liquid during the time that it's in that policy and you have to wait. But most of ours, as I said, they've got the emergency money, so they don't worry about it. I had one of our large clients was in this week, and he was having to take money out of his account to pay some extra taxes. And he said, you know, I took all that money during the year, and I forgot. You know, if you take it, you've got to pay taxes at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, I wouldn't have forgot that, but he had. And he said, what I love about Nevada Trust is, you know, we can call them today and say, I need some money immediately out of my account. They will wire it to your account or FedEx it, and you'll have it the next day.
Cool.
I mean, it is cool. I mean, I love the way it works. At any time, if you've got cash in your account and you have an emergency, it's here. It'll be there the next day. So, like, this fella had to pay some taxes, and he needed it right away. He called up James at Nevada Trust. He was here the next day.
Wow.
And that's all you have to do, and I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty quick
nobody
and easy.
Nobody could pay you any quicker than that.
Yeah.
So that's why we like doing business with Nevada Trust, because we can call at any time and get an officer on the phone, and we're not talking to some, you know, a cashier or some underling and taking a week to get our money. You know, we can get it immediately, and we love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one real good thing for people to know about Nevada Trust, how quick they pay if you need some money.
That is important because I know people, you know, you always like to have a contingency plan. You know, if something happens, how fast can I get to it? Do I have to wait 30 days? Do I have to wait a week? You know, whatever it is, and being able to get it the next day, that's important to know.
It is, because we deal with some other companies, and it can take 2 weeks for you to get your money.
Oh, Lord.
You know? Yeah. And then the other thing is if it's in a 401k at your company, you know, there is a penalty of 20% plus the taxes if you have to take it out. But over at our place, these people, when they ask for it, you know, they're in their 60s, so there's no penalty. The only thing that's going to happen is they're going to have to pay tax on it, you know. But other than that, it's not a problem. You can get it the next day, and I love that.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yeah, and so that's important for our clients to always know the people we deal with will FedEx it that day, and they'll have it the next day.
Well, I mean, it's scary when you think that, my gosh, you know, I don't have access to my own money. I mean, that's really, when you think
about
it.
That would be too much for me.
Yeah, it's a scary thought.
It's just like, you know, when you have it in the stock market, it's in stocks or mutual funds. Well, they will liquidate those, but you're not going to get the money tomorrow.
Uh-uh.
You know? Yeah, if you say, I need some money, they'll sell some stock. Well, it takes 3 days to settle up on a stock deal. You know, it takes them 3 days to sell it and settle with you, and then to put the money over into your account. So it could take 4 days to 5 for you to get cash.
Yeah.
But not with us. You can get it immediately.
And if say you start the process on a Monday afternoon or a Tuesday, then you've got the weekend to deal with. You'll have to wait through that. And, man, you know, when you need it in a hurry, every minute counts. And when you have to sit through a weekend or a holiday weekend even, or, you know, wait 2 extra days because it's a Saturday or a Sunday, that's no good. And then it's like you almost feel helpless. You have that feeling of, my gosh, it's my money. Why can't I just get it? And then that adds to, you know, on top of whatever else is going on, and so it's just not a good thing. So it's a good thing that that people have access to it.
That's right, and a lot of people don't even think about that. That if it's with us, it's not in the stock market, and if you've got cash in your account, you can get to it.
Yeah.
It's your money, as I always tell people. We don't control that; it's your money, and I like that.
And so,
and of course, I like it that our bank handles their money, and. You know, we always know the bank's in charge. They are our back office for everything we do. People don't realize that. We'd have to have a huge staff if we didn't have a bank that represents us and them in all of our transactions. Had you thought about that?
Yeah, it's really safer that way, one. Two, it cuts down on overhead because you're not paying for unnecessary staff and things like that. And you've got people who are professionals, and this is what they do. You know, it's not like they're trying to do 15 different things. It's like handling money and being responsible with it and keeping it secure and safe. That is literally their only job. And so when you have somebody that you work with and that's what they do, you know that they're highly specialized in it.
That's exactly right. And they've been doing it with us a long time. They know how it works. They know, you know, the answer to things. And they know that we can both help our clients day by day.
Yeah.
So it works out really good. And, of course, you know, our clients need to be accredited. Sometimes people call in, they miss that part. You know, it says you must be accredited. You must be worth $1 million without your home. That means that you can count your 401k, your rent houses, you can count an IRA as well as a 401k, your ranch, a farm. You know, just and if you own a business, you can count that. So there's all kinds of things you can count to be accredited. And then the other way to be accredited is if you make $200,000 a year. So there's a lot of ways. It's pretty easy to become accredited and to do business with us. So that's good. As I said, almost all of our accounts are IRAs. We have some people that have a joint account with their wife. And then I have some people that have 2 or 3 kinds of IRAs. They may have a SEP, which, you know, is an independent business account, really. They may have a regular traditional IRA, or they may have a Roth. Now, a Roth, after 5 years, you never pay tax on the thing. If you keep it in there for 5 years, you don't ever pay tax again. So that's a great blessing right there. And then if you've got an IRA with us, you have to start taking a distribution at 70 and a half, okay? You can't just keep holding that money forever. The government wants to be sure they get their part before you die, okay?
Oh, of course.
They don't want you to die, and they don't have their money. The government frowns on that.
They're going to take theirs first.
Right. That's right. They want their money up front if they can get it. And that's just like if a guy dies, they want that widow to start paying on it right then.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to let her just sit there for another 10 years and not pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
They now want the money because he's dead, and they want to get it while you're alive.
Yeah, exactly. Make hay while the sun's shining, I guess.
That's exactly right with our government. So the average that people are making when a policy matures is about 20% to 24%. That's the average right there. It's about what they make. And a person can go and look at everything everybody's made this whole year. Most of them came in early. But we have got some that are late, and we've got some that have come in on time. So there's two or three ways it can go. And so you always have to figure, I've got so many coming in early, I've got some coming in that will come in on time, then there'll be some that will be late. But you'll always get your principal, you'll always get your profit, because this is money out of a life insurance policy. This is someone that has terminal cancer, stage 4, that we bought their policy for our clients, and when they pass away, our clients get paid. So it's pretty simple, and it works. It's been working a long time.
Well,
and that's why it's such a nice thing.
I think probably, you know, kind of related to how we opened the show, is that when you look at the stock market, the value of that can go down literally overnight. The value of a life settlement, it's not. It is what it is, and you know ahead of time what you're going to get paid, minus any fees or anything, or like premiums if you have to pay those. But you know what you're going to get. It's just really a matter of set it and forget it and just wait.
It's just a matter of timing.
Yeah.
Everything is timing. You're going to get paid. You're going to get your interest. And what we do, lots of times, we'll make out a spreadsheet and show, you know, on every policy that someone's got what their profit is. So then if you're thinking about it, you know, you look and you say, okay, here's my profit. On this policy, it's 20. On this one, it's 22. It's 12% on this one. And you add it up so you know what you're going to get out of those. And they'll never ask you to take any less on a life insurance policy. All life insurance companies pay the face amount of those policies. They don't try to discount them or anything else. They know what they owe, and they're going to pay it.
Yeah.
So that's the best kind of companies, I think, to do business with.
Yeah.
Because they pay exactly what they owe.
Well, it's not like they can, or it's not like they do just say, well, you know, the market's down, so we're only going to pay 40% of this policy. No, it maintains its value regardless of what is going on, you know, on the stock market or worldly events, because we all know that Wall Street is affected by, you know, a change in the wind. Anything can affect it. But with a life settlement, it is what it is. It holds steady regardless of external conditions.
You know, the value of it is not going to change. The value of it holds. So that's the nice part about the investment is you're going to get the face amount. It doesn't matter if it's early. Sure, you'll make your money early. If it comes in on time, that's fine. If it's late, there may be a little bit come off the top, but it won't be a lot.
Yeah.
And you'll still have most of your profit. So it's not going to change a lot.
Yeah, and you were talking about, you know, profit margins. They're built, or you organize these or set these up in a way that the profit margin is large enough so that if somebody does have to pay premiums or anything like that, it compensates for that. And so it's not going to wipe out your thing. Like you were talking about, and I know this is probably rare, I'm guessing anyway, to have $7 a quarter premiums. But if you're making 24% on a $100,000 investment, that's $24,000. If you have to pay $7 in premiums, it's not even a drop in the bucket.
No, it isn't. And that's the second time I had seen that amount on a spreadsheet.
Really?
Because most of the time it's, you know, $254 a quarter, or, you know, I saw one that was $1,800 a quarter. But the rest of them were very, very small, which you wouldn't even notice it. In other words, if we didn't have it set up on quarterly, I would let them pay it annually. But we can't because everything is set on quarterly, where if that person dies, you don't have a lot of extra premium invested. If they should die before, that premium is used up.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense, just having a quarterly payment rather than 6 months or a whole year. A lot of people said, well, you know, we thought it would be a whole year at a time because the payments are so little. But no, we just leave it at that quarterly payment.
Yeah. And it really protects the investor, too, because you don't want to pay anything extra at any cost, whether it's, you know, extra premiums or extra taxes. And that's why you roll over from one investment to the other. You have a lot of people that really they take their profits and just go ahead and invest in the next policy that comes along. And it's rolling over, so people aren't paying unnecessary taxes.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the guy that had lasted that extra year, that money's just went into everybody's account. So that's $2 million that's just been divided into about 10 people. So they've just got that money, and they'll be reinvesting it. And it's also being rolled over to Nevada Trust because, as I said, we love Nevada Trust, and we'd rather all their money was at Nevada Trust rather than Bank of Utah. So that's why we're rolling that over for them now to make that investment for them.
Yeah. And this is also, and I guess it's also a good time to point out that when we're talking about investing in life insurance policies, it's not just a one-time investment, you're in, you're out. This is what happens over a process. This is, you know, over several years. And that's how people end up building their wealth, because we can see very quickly how fast somebody can build their wealth because it is such a safe, well-informed investment. You take the profit, you put it in another policy, and when you're looking at, you know, 20-24% on an investment, and you have, you know, one or two a year, or maybe even three, I don't know what the average is, you would probably know better, but if you have, you know, a few that come due in a year, and once those mature, you know, you're looking at a pretty good chunk of change that goes into the next policy, and then that grows exponentially. And this is how this happens over several years.
That's exactly right. So most of our clients have 5 to 8 policies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So every time one comes due, we roll it over because it is an IRA. Now, I've got some people do have a joint account with their wife, but not near as many as I do that have IRAs. So on an IRA, we want to roll it again and increase their retirement. That's what we're doing all this for, is to increase the interest that people will have to live on when they retire. So we want to do as much of that as we can.
You never want to touch the principal. It's always interest.
That's right. Touch your interest, but don't touch the principal. We need that principal to be rolling around every year or every 18 months or 2 years, where that you will have extra income at all time and interest for a lifetime. You know, this is not for just a couple of years or two. This is for a lifetime to help you.
You know, and this
so
is really,
what we're doing.
This is a great thing because never at any point is money just sitting there stagnant. It's always moving around. It's always growing. It's always doing something, because a lot of people, and I've heard people say this, you know, even this past week with the, you know, the stock market thing that happened on Wednesday and Thursday. It's like they say, okay, well, you know, at least I didn't lose anything. Whoa, that's a scary thing. You don't want to be just sitting there. If your money is not growing, then your money is not growing. You're almost losing
well,
money.
Yeah, and when it went down, that was real, by the way.
Yes.
That wasn't just a paper transaction.
No.
If you'd had to have any of that money that day, you were probably $500,000 less or $200,000 less than you were a week ago.
Yeah.
You know? And as I said, this guy said he was tired of losing money, and so since he was tired of losing money, he wouldn't come talk to me. He just waited a long time. I guess all these years he thought he was going to make a lot, and he probably didn't.
Yeah.
I would almost bet on that.
Yeah. And this, and I know a lot of people, you know, will get into the stock market and they'll think, you know, there's going to be this quick turnaround and I've got a big potential to make a big profit. On the other hand, you have potential to make big loss too. So, I mean, it's a risk and everybody's in their own place and whatever is good for them is fine. For me, it seems like it's the ends don't justify the means. And so I'd rather take, and I know you have a lot of clients that feel the same way, which is why they do this. They'd rather take that, not necessarily slow path, but, you know, a nice, even, steady growth over several years because they know in the end it's going to be there.
Yes, that's true. And I think it's a solid proposition because the insurance companies pay off. It's not like the lottery. You know, you're not taking any risk like that because we know when it matures, the insurance company is going to write a check, they send the check to Nevada Trust, and they divvy up the money and put it in your account.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty simple process. Yeah, we had that one guy jacked us around for 30 days at the mortuary. I never heard of a mortuary that couldn't get a death certificate filled out right.
Wow.
You know, we went back and forth, this poor old guy. And we finally said, we're going to have to sue you, sir. We don't want to, but we have to get our clients their money. And he finally got it filled out right, and the state approved it, and we've now got a death certificate. He was over here in New Mexico in a little bitty town.
Oh, my goodness.
And he didn't know how to fill it out. I mean, what's wrong? I mean, if you own a mortuary, my gosh, can't you fill out the death certificate?
It's kind of like it's what you do.
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought, now this guy, and I don't know if somebody else had been doing it all this time, and they just now gave him the job, and he just doesn't know a thing about how to fill out a death certificate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they jacked us around for 30 days while he's trying to figure out how to get this done right.
My goodness.
The person he filled out wouldn't even pass muster. The state turned it down.
Wow.
And said, we're not going to give you a certified death certificate.
Maybe he shouldn't be working there then.
That's what I'm wondering. If maybe this guy should go into another line of work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking about my turtle story. Maybe he could, you know, round up turtles.
be a turtle farmer.
Be a turtle farmer and a wrangler. I want him to be a wrangler where he can rope them.
That'd be a good idea. Yeah, you might suggest that.
I thought I would if I don't get the death certificate right away.
Yeah.
But I understand it has been mailed now.
Okay, so it's all taken care of and it's all straightened out.
It's straightened out now, but it was 30 days of just anguish,
yeah,
going back and forth. And we didn't want to spend any money on attorneys.
Yeah.
You know, we just wanted him to do his job.
I assume that doesn't happen very often.
I've never had it happen. In 10 years, I've never heard of a mortuary that can't fill out a death certificate correctly.
Well.
I mean, but it's a little bitty town, New Mexico. I bet this is the first time he's had to do it. I'll bet somebody else has been doing it all this time. I don't believe this guy had ever done one before.
Yeah. And then,
because he couldn't even get it right.
You may never have to deal with them again either, so hopefully you'll get lucky.
No,
there.
I don't think we've got anyone else living in New Mexico in that little big town that we would have to call upon.
Good.
I think we're okay. Yes, I think we're okay.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And we should point out that office, that number is for your office, and this being Saturday, there's nobody there right now. So, but write the number down, or if they want to call right now, they can leave a message, and you'll get back to them, and you'll make some kind of arrangements, make an appointment, and they can come in and talk to you and ask all the questions you want to, or they want to.
That's exactly right. Oh, I hadn't told you. You remember when I told the farm story last week about the jams, the jellies, the butterflies, the apple orchard?
Yeah,
a man called me this week and said, I would like to go out to that farm.
Really?
And he was asking all about, yes, I was impressed.
Wow.
And he was listening pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But he said, now where is it? I said, it's in Roanoke, outside of Fort Worth. He said, "How far is that?" And I said, "It's 5 hours." I hated to tell him.
Well, I mean, that's pretty standard. I mean, you have to go several hours to get to other places. So that's all right. It's not too bad.
Let me tell you something. In Texas, it's always a long way to anything. You know that.
Yeah.
Nothing is across the street or just down the road.
No, nobody said it'll take you 20 minutes.
No. In Texas, everything's at least 60 miles away, and most of it's a lot farther than that.
Yeah, really.
So, but anyway, I appreciate him calling because I knew he listened.
Yeah.
And he said, "I haven't been to a farm like that in years, and I'd like to go and take my children."
Yeah, well, it sounded pretty cool.
And I said, "Do it on a weekend. Just go up there on a weekend. You'll have plenty of time." Roanoke's a very small town.
Uh-huh.
And that little farm is right out there on the edge of town.
Yeah, head out on Friday or even Thursday, and then come back on Saturday.
I think it's a perfect deal. And your little children have never seen it. And, of course, if it's 41 degrees next week, the okra will be gone, the carrots will be gone, everything will be, froze. But you can show them what an okra stalk looks like.
Yeah, sure.
I mean... And, of course, when my grandchildren were there, they were asking all the grade school children, "What is this?" A few of them knew it was okra, and the others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've changed so much. The little children now don't even know what a lot of these things are.
Oh, yeah. It's in the grocery store. That's all they know.
That's right. And they explain to them about honeybees, about bumblebees, and what they do for our plants and pollinate them. Where we will have beautiful things.
Yeah, and it's important to know that. And it's nice to know, that there is a history of our food before, we find it at the grocery store. There's a whole backstory to it.
That's right. And the story about the bees is important.
Yeah.
We have to have honeybees. We have to have bumblebees. And if we didn't, our plants would never get pollinated. So everything in life really does have a place. Some animals are better than others, and some insects are better than others.
Yeah. And we need to keep all these processes alive, too.
We really do, because we're losing so much of our history the way it is. They're tearing down every tree. They're tearing down every bush. they would think we need a building on every square inch.
Yeah.
And maybe we do, but I'm not convinced of it yet.
Maybe we do.
I mean, and my llamas don't think so,
No.
They believe in the wide open prairie.
Yeah.
And they believe in being at a pond every day and enjoying yourself and rolling in the sand.
Enjoying nature.
That's right. They are a part of nature, and they love it.
Yeah.
So
what are we talking about today?
Oh, are we ready to talk?
Yes, let's do some trivia. I know we do it every Saturday around this time, give or take. And sometimes you like last week, you have a fun, interesting place to go, or sometimes it's about Texas trivia. It's always neat stuff.
That Blanco State Park, everybody needs to visit that little place. That water just getting on an inner tube, just going down the river.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a lazy afternoon. I think that'll be a good summertime thing for everybody to go do.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
today
we're going to talk about Tex Avery.
Ooh.
Now, you might or might not know who Tex Avery was.
I don't.
Okay. He was from Taylor, Texas, born in 1908. And he graduated from North Dallas High School in 1926. And 2 years later, he's on his way to Hollywood. He became a famous cartoonist, an animator, a director, and a voice actor. And he did Bugs Bunny, he did Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Elmer Fudd, Droopy. Droopy was his most successful one. And I don't remember Screwy Squirrel or Chilly Willy. That's the only two I do not remember.
I don't remember those either.
I mean, they weren't anything popular, I don't believe, because I remember every one of the others. And, of course, Bugs Bunny was unflappable. Porky Pig was a buffoon. And he redid Porky Pig. Porky Pig really looked like a real pig, had the long snout, was just pig-like, I'll just tell you. And he, over a period of years, he changed him and made him look like a cartoon. And he changed his snout. He changed and made him a little rotund, fat piggy. And then his jaws, he made them round, you know, and made him cute, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And a lot of things happened to him on the way. As I said, he did Santa Claus. He did the George and Junior, but I just don't remember them. And as I said, Droopy was his most famous. And within 2 years of going to Hollywood, he, you know, was so popular that he, you know, was not any longer doing warehouse work and doing all this other work for other people. Everybody could see how talented this young man was. And so they did give him his field that he could get started and do this. And so he created a legend of cartoon characters, and he was deeply involved in every one of them, and he made them funny. And when he was doing Daffy Duck, he wanted him to be a lunatic, and he was zany, he was lunacy, and they called it the Darn Fool Duck. And yeah, and they would do it in double speed with him screaming, hoo hoo, hoo hoo, in a high pitched, speed up voice. And Mel Blanc, if you remember him, how famous he would do the voice for him. And then he took over providing the voice of Porky Pig. And then he did Daffy Duck and Egghead, Daffy Duck in Hollywood, and Egghead Rides Again. And when he was doing Daffy Duck, it was like a rabbit. And he said, I need to change him some. So he did. And most of these cartoons, he would treat the rabbit differently. And then he said, Termite Terrace was Bugs Bunny. And he said, let's see, a wild hare. It was a double throwback. And then Porky's Duck Hunt, featuring Porky Pig. And then he introduced Daffy Duck. And Porky's Hare Hunt. So he went back to the hunter and had him hunting him. And they had Elmer's Candid Camera and his gags, and he altered the design of Elmer Fudd. And he made Bugs a kind of Brooklyn, super cool rabbit who was always in control of the situation and who would run rings around the opponents. And it was very common in him to refer to folks in Texas as Doc, as much as like Pal or In a Wild Hare. And then finally, when he was doing Peter Rabbit and Bugs Bunny, he came up with What's Up, Doc? And everybody said, how did you do What's Up, Doc? And you know, it became a famous line. And he said when he was in North Dallas High School, the kids would say to each other, What's Up, Doc?
Really?
So yeah, they would say, What's Up, Doc? And that's how he became famous and put that in his cartoon with Bugs Bunny.
Now, I never knew that. I knew that was the big thing. And we always, blah, 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 What's Up, Doc?
Yeah, that's right.
I had no idea that's where it came from.
It came from North Dallas High School, his friends. And I thought that was really a famous thing that a lot of people never caught on. They just knew it was in all the cartoons, but they didn't know why.
Yeah.
And didn't know how he got that. And in the 30s, he was working on, you know, doing all these different things. And they said, okay, we're going to make you a director. And his words were, Hey, I'm a director? Hell, I was no more a director than nothing. He said, but my loud mouth, I talked him into it. Oh, me. So then when he moved over to Warner Brothers, they gave him and his crew a five-room bungalow. Well, it was full of termites, so they named it Termite Terrace. And Termite Terrace later became the name for his entire studio, because they were the ones who defined it as a Warner Brothers cartoon, Termite Terrace. So, and then he did The Gold Diggers of 49, and that was the third Looney Tunes starring Beans, and I don't remember Beans. Beans was a gold miner, and it was a Western. And that was when he started redesigning Porky Pig, and then they had the Technicolor of Merry Melodies, and I remember it would say Merry Melodies lots of times.
Oh yeah, it would have that little circle in the middle of the screen, and Porky Pig's head would come, you know, out of the center of it.
That's exactly right. And so he took Porky, so he's got to have more prominent eyes, a smaller snout, the jaws had to have those chubby cheeks on them, And so he made him more cartoonish and made him more famous, you know. And Droopy was his most famous one, the dog. And but in the 40s, he said, you know, these animals ought to be able to talk during this, and instead of it just showing on the screen. So he came up with that, and the studio he was interested wasn't even interested in them being able to talk.
Really?
Yeah, they weren't even interested. So he left that studio, said, you know, I'm leaving here. And that's what he did. And he left and went over to United, and they loved it and warned all the dogs and everything, you know, to be able to talk. And so they had a royal battle just before he left, and it was called the Heckling Hare. And it was a story of Bugs Bunny and a hunting dog. And they had to fall off this cliff three times. And they were really milking the gag. And so he put on the bottom, he said, just before falling off for the third time, Bugs and the dog were to turn to the screen, and Bugs was supposed to sing, "Hold on to your hat, folks, here we go again." And it made the producers so bad that they suspended him. So he went over to Paramount. He said, I can't take it anymore. And then later, of course, when he became so famous, he was at MGM's. And they asked him, said, "Do you miss the Looney Tunes?" He said, "Yeah, but I don't miss anything else." He said, "It's just not a good place to work."
Yeah.
So he was very famous, and a lot of times it would say on screen, "Jerky Turkey," directed by Tex Avery.
Wow.
Yeah. And he did all these, thought it up, and, I mean, he was very famous in his own right. And when he was doing Droopy, he was a small, calm, slow-moving, slow-talking dog who always won out in the end. And then he did a little risque cartoon, and that got him in a lot of trouble. He was going to do Red Hot Riding Hood, and that was in 1943.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and unofficially, he referred to it as Red, but I don't think he ever did another one of those. I think it got him in too much trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and then he did Lucky Ducky, the cat, and the king-sized canary. And then he introduced a slow-talking wolf character. And this was the prototype for Hanna-Barbera's Huckleberry Hound.
Really?
And I didn't, yeah, that was, the wolf character was before we ever had a Huckleberry Hound. And I loved Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and the voice was by Dawes Butler for him. But then in 1950, he said, "I'm going to take a sabbatical. You know, I've just been working too hard." And so while he was gone, they made a Barney Bear deal. And then he returned, and he started doing Deputy Droopy and all these others, and they were released in 53 and 55. So he was just very famous. And then, you know, he died in, I believe, 80. He died of lung cancer. So I figured he was a smoker back then.
I think everybody was a smoker back then, because they didn't really, you know, worry about the dangers. And so everybody was smoking because it was cool.
Well, and they also had to have them with one in their hand in all those movies, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It was part of it. You had to have that in your hand.
Yep.
That was part of their contracts. But I'm shocked that he did so many wonderful cartoon characters.
You know, I've watched an awful lot of cartoons when I was a kid, and I guess there's a lot of backstories that I didn't even realize.
Yeah, and when he started out North Dallas High School, can you imagine? And he was drawing then. And then he just went on, and within 2 years, they had given him the job of doing the actual cartoons. And he, from there, he just never looked back because he was so good at it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I don't know which one I liked the best, but Bugs Bunny, I have to admit, was one of my favorites, and Daffy Duck. I love Daffy Duck.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah.
He was so crazy. I mean, he was just nonstop crazy.
You know, and I can't even imagine them without the sound now and without the talking and
yeah.
It just wouldn't be the same, I don't think.
It would not for us. But see, this was in the 30s, and then it was like 1941 when he discovered how to do it. You know, he said these guys ought to have a voice to make them even crazier, and it was. That's what put it over.
Yeah.
You know. And I don't know, that guy just wasn't ready for it at that studio.
Wow.
So he went over to Paramount and just forgot about him. And I'll bet they regretted that for years because he was so far ahead of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And his cartoons were selling like hotcakes. You know, every time you went down on Saturday morning, there was one of his cartoons there.
Yep.
And they all talked long before the other studios.
Yeah, and Mel Blanc is the voice, man. It's just, that's perfect.
It really was. And over the years, I would hear Mel Blanc, and I'd just say, there is nobody can do what Mel Blanc can do as far as talking. I love to hear him do the characters.
Me too. I'm sure he probably couldn't even go to a restaurant without somebody saying, you know, something like, blah, 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 what's up, Doc?
That's right. And many a time I would see him being interviewed on television. They all had to hear it.
Yeah.
They have that, and they had to have Daffy Duck, and some of these talks. They wanted to hear him talk.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, could he talk? And this guy, you know, did all the drawings and made the movements, and he wanted them faster and crazier. He said, I like them faster and crazier. And they were pretty crazy.
And back then, they did all the drawings by hand. They didn't have computer animation, so you had to draw every single little movement by hand. I couldn't even imagine that. That just takes a level of talent and patience that I just can't get to.
Well, and they also, he was finally allowed to do one of his own. And they said, remember, you've got to measure 120 feet this way, so many feet this way to get him moving and to make him do everything he wants to do. And he said that was the only movie he ever made, and he said it wasn't very good, but they let him release it anyway. I mean, you know, he was good at what he did, but he wanted to do the other part, and he said he really didn't do a good job on it.
Yeah.
But he knew how to make them move, to make their mouth work, their feet work, you know, to get them going where they had to be, that falling over crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And have all those movements be nice and smooth, too.
Yes, and it had to work right. And from the start, he obviously knew how to do these things.
Yeah.
He didn't have to be taught. That's what I admire him for. When he got there, he already knew how to do it. It was convincing somebody to look at his work.
Yeah, and just to have those instincts and that talent just right on your own, that's something, man. That's something special right there.
Yeah, and you know, he got there in 28. By 31, he was doing his own work.
Wow!
Just in 3 years.
That's amazing.
And then as it went along, he had a team working with him. Then finally, he was in charge of those teams, and he had like five guys working with him to do the characters.
Yeah.
And so it was just, I think, a life of fun, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I would say that's a lot of fun going back. And now that you brought it up, now I kind of miss Saturday morning cartoons with a bowl of cereal.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you can't get those anymore. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
When you turn it on, I never see a short film before something starts and saying, you know, Looney Tunes or, you know, MGM or whatever.
Yeah.
You just don't get to see it anymore. That's
no.
A shame.
Yeah.
Because they're a lot better than what we have.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, the technology's great and all that, but, you know, and I'm all for, you know, advancing and growth and everything, but, man, there's just something that's nostalgic and special about back when they had to do it all by hand, and it just brings back special memories.
And thousands of children on Saturday saw this. Do you realize that?
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't realize that it was something that would go away, that they were going to see it and learn it and love it. And then, like everything else, it went away and the world changed to what we have nowadays.
Yeah, we took it all for granted.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And when Technicolor, can you believe they had Technicolor real early?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even remember when it first came out that it wasn't Technicolor.
I don't either.
The ones I saw.
I do remember the little logo and the little scene with the in Technicolor, and it was like in like a rainbow shape. The letters were and oh yeah.
Oh yeah, and the studios that were the best was MGM and Paramount.
Yeah.
They had all this.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's really a bygone era that we need to remember and remember who all the really stars were.
Tex Avery.
Tex Avery was a big star from Taylor, Texas, who grew up at North Dallas High School. And they said, what's up, Doc?
Man, that is so cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is all about growing your money so that you can retire, hopefully, early. If you don't want to, there's a lot of people who don't. They just want to retire on time because they like going to work. You know, they need a place to go, and that's fine. But you want to be happy, and you want to be wealthy. You want to make sure that you have enough money. So when it comes to investing in, like, the stock market, we saw what happens this week. It's kind of a flashback memory of what happened in 2008, kind of like that reminder of, oh, my gosh, I'm in the stock market. I could lose everything. So if you're looking for somewhat of a more of a little bit safer investment, you'll know what you're investing in. It's a very well-informed type of investment. And these are only life insurance policies that you bid on and eventually purchase of specific types of stage 4 cancer.
That's exactly right. It has to be stage 4, has to be terminal. If it's not terminal, we can't do it. You know, we've already learned on the other things. We learned first that you don't buy the elderly policies. You know, that's been a lifelong lesson. Then we found out that other things, they're uncertain. But stage 4 cancer is certain. And so that's why we have switched over the years and only do stage 4 cancer. We did a couple of heart deals, and they did come due. But we do not want to specify in that. We want to be in the terminal cancer position. And that's why it's worked and will continue working, because we specialize in that one kind.
Exactly. This is, and you're right. This is such a highly specified, a highly targeted type of investment. Then people know, anybody that comes in and wants to invest, they're going to know exactly what the policyholder has, what type of cancer, what they've done as far as treatments, what they haven't done. It's very well informed. I mean, people know everything about it. And I know that after people get started, and you know, once they're onto their second or third policy, you know, they pretty much know that if it's on your table, it's available to invest in, it's a good policy. They don't necessarily go through the details. But for those who are new to it, you're going to show them everything. So they're going to know all about the policyholder.
Yes, they are. And they should, because we want them to make an informed decision. We want them to do it and say, okay, I think this kind of cancer, you know, will come due sooner. And, you know, we always have either Fasano or 21st Services or AVS give us. And they're not perfect. They're not, every one of these is going to be perfect. But the majority of them, they're right on.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm right on them. And then sometimes everybody's wrong. And it will go over. But usually they are early. We've had an awful lot of them early this year.
Yeah. And like we were talking about, this is a process. It's not just a one-and-done type of thing. So over the span of the entire process, you know, from the day that you start to the day that you retire, and even after, because people keep going even after they retire so they can still grow their money, during the entire process, it's averages. And when it comes right down to it, a majority of them will either come in on time or early. So if one or two goes over, it all evens out.
That's right. It will even out. It might not seem like it at the time, but it will. And you will get your money. You'll get your principal. You'll get your interest. They're not going to hold anything back. And, you know, it works. And after you've been in it a little while, you'll see how it works. And you'll be glad you're in this type of investment.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest issue is really just getting the ball rolling. And so I know nobody's at the office today, but people can call, and you will call back. People can leave a message. You'll call them back, and you'll schedule an appointment. So what do people need to know today before they do call you? What do they need to get together?
Well, they need to get their statements ready. Let's see what they're making now. Let's see if they are making money. Let's see how we can improve it. Let's see what we can do for them. And they need to look and see on our website. Look what people are making. You know, I'm not just making this up. Everything everybody makes is put on the website. So you can see what the investment is and what it's making.
It's hard data, hard historicals that people can see for themselves. So, Faye, one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And don't forget, we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.